Your guest speaker for today is John Grubb.
Welcome to our program. We're studying Jesus Christ is worthy of faith. And in our last program, we noted one of the reasons Jesus Christ is worthy of our faith is because He is a greater spokesman than the prophets. Another reason that we believe that Jesus Christ is worthy of faith is because He is a greater lawgiver than Moses. All of the main points for these lessons come from the book of Hebrews. And so we turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and read together verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Note please, the Hebrew writer compares Moses and Jesus. Moses had spoken with God face to face. Exodus 33, verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Not only did Moses speak to God face to face, he also spoke for God, as recorded in Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. For Moses truly said to the fathers, that is the Jewish fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. Also, Moses revealed God's law to the Jews. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." John 1:17. God's law given by Moses is sometimes called the law of Moses. But please note, under the Old Testament law, the law of Moses and the law of God referred to the same law. Luke 2:22-23 says, "Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." The reason we mention the law of Moses and the law of the Lord is some make the claim that the law of Moses and the law of the Lord in the Old Testament were different. But that law that Moses gave, that came from God, that law was given to the Jews and only to the Jews. Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb, The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mountain. Yes, the law of Moses was given to the Jews at Mount Sinai. And so, before Mount Sinai, even those descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were under the patriarchal law that began at creation. The law given by Moses would be fulfilled by Christ. Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, Jesus said. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. The law given through Moses was a temporary law or rule. Galatians 3 and verse 19, Paul writes, what purpose then does the law serve? That is the law of Moses. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of the mediator. You see, the old law was given until Christ came. And when Christ came, that old law, which was a temporary law, would end. That's why the Bible says that the law was nailed to the cross. Colossians 2 and verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. You see, the law of Moses was never given to Gentiles, and now it is no longer in effect. It ended for everybody. Of course, it never was given to the Gentiles. But the law of Moses ended at the cross of Christ. For you see, Christ's law is for all people. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That is the faith, a system of faith. You are all sons of God through the faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, Christ's law is the perfect law of liberty. James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 points out, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Moses was a servant in God's Old Testament house. Christ is a son over God's New Testament house, the church. Hebrews 3, verses 4 through 6. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Paul tells us that the church is the house of God in 1 Timothy 3:15. He says, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Jesus Christ is worthy of faith because He is a greater spokesman than the prophets, and He is a greater lawgiver than Moses. In the third place, Jesus Christ is worthy of faith because He is a greater rest provider than Joshua. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. That is, Christ would not have spoken of another day. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The Old Testament tells us Joshua led the Israelites into the land of Canaan. But that was not a permanent rest. It was a temporary rest. Certainly, though, God gave rest to Israel. Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 through 45 says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which He had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelled in it. Well, isn't that interesting? God gave them rest, the Bible says, and they possessed all the land that God promised. But there are some people today who say, God never fulfilled His land promise. The book of Joshua says He did fulfill that promise. Yes, verse 44 says, the Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that He had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel, all came to pass. And then in Joshua 23:1, the Bible says, now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. So note, please, these two passages point out that Joshua gave Israel a temporary rest in Canaan. We know it was a temporary rest because the Bible tells of the death of Joshua. Joshua 24:29. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. It was temporary for Joshua because he died. It was also temporary for others. Judges chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which He had done for Israel. So other people died as well as Joshua during this period. Their Canaan rest ended when they died. Others departed from God, that is, they went away from God, which ended their rest. Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So He delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. And He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them. And they were greatly distressed. So Joshua led Israel into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And that would be a Canaan rest for Israel. But it would be a temporary rest. It was temporary for Joshua and the people of that generation. It was temporary for those that followed after. It was also very temporary for those who went away from God. But Jesus leads people to a permanent rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1, 9, and 11. Verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, that is Christ's rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer speaks of the disobedience of Israel in the wilderness. Some, of course, never got to enter into the temporary rest in Canaan. They died in the wilderness. Even those who entered into the Canaan rest also died. But the rest that Jesus promises is an eternal rest in heaven. Those who die in the Lord rest from their labors. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. Heaven is an eternal resting place. There will be no more death. And the Bible uses expressions talking about no more and forever and ever. We note two passages. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then continuing in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. Why is Jesus Christ worthy of faith? Jesus Christ is worthy of faith because He is a greater spokesman for all of the prophets who have ever lived. He's a greater lawgiver than Moses, who gave the law to Israel. And He is a greater rest provider than the great leader Joshua, who led Israel into the promised land. We hope you are enjoying this study concerning Jesus Christ, worthy of faith.